Amen. Thank you very much. I love hearing groups of men like that singing. And thank God for all of the faithful men in this church. And that was a great group there. And praise the Lord for that. I'd like to ask you to take the Word of God this morning. And let us go to 1 Samuel chapter number 27. 1 Samuel chapter number 27. Well, today is a special day for myself and my wife and our family. Today marks 6 years that God brought us and allowed us the privilege to come to Grace Baptist Church. And 6 years ago, it's unbelievable. I can still remember driving from Illinois, because that's where we were at the time. And I remember it was snowing when we were driving. And I can remember when we got on Route 68, heading north to come to Urbana, there was a car that had flipped over, and I thought, what have we gotten ourselves into, you know? And it was a treacherous time out there, snow and weather and all of that. But it has been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful 6 years. And God has proven himself faithful, and the Lord has blessed, and he has given the increase. And we praise God for his goodness. And I'm so thankful for you. I love you, and I don't know if I can express that enough, how much I love you, and I'm thankful to be your pastor. And thank you for taking such good care of us, for loving us and accepting us. You know, a church has to allow a pastor to lead them, and that takes both work. The pastor wants to love the people, but he hopes they love him back, and you have proved that, and we thank God for you, and we're looking forward to the days to come and what the Lord continues to do. I know this, my son Joshua was 3 years of age when we came here, just a tiny little guy, and he doesn't really remember much about Illinois. This is, everything here is Buckeye everything to him, you know, and he's glad God had mercy and brought us from a terrible team in Illinois to the Buckeyes, you know, and it's kind of funny, you know, when we lived in Illinois, I was never an Illini fan. I just never became one. I mean, you have to really sink low to become an Illini fan, you know? And while I was there, I just told everybody, I said, hey, look, I'm a Tennessean. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer, you know? But when I came here, I said, man, it's safer to be a Buckeye when you're here, you know? And so, but anyway, but we've had a wonderful, wonderful time, and we thank God for your influence in our lives. And the choir sang that song. I requested that song to be sung every anniversary that we are here, because it was a song that was sung, I think, around the first week or the first Sunday that I was here and became the pastor. And God really used that song to minister to my heart. And I've asked Brother Dan to have the choir sing it. So thank you so much for doing that. And we're excited about the days to come and what the Lord is doing. I do not believe that God is finished with Grace Baptist Church. I don't believe that. And I know this. This church is needed. Amen. You know, what would this area be? What would this Tri-County area be without Grace Baptist Church? You know, we're a gospel witness, a shining light here, a lighthouse to the beacon of truth, that God is alive and well, and that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, for you and me. And I want to encourage you, let's pray together that God would allow the next 6 years, if he tarries his coming, to be as great as these first 6 years have been. And we can continue to reach people and see our own personal lives grow closer to the Lord, but also see what God will continue to do. The Lord has blessed our Christian school. Of course, we're 80-something students this year. We thank God for that. I remember coming, we had 17 students in the Christian school when we came. And it only went up to the sixth grade at that time. And the Lord has blessed. And I want to encourage you to come out this month. We have our special Victory Christian School Christmas program that we'll do on a Tuesday night. And it will substitute our Wednesday night service. And it is fantastic. And these kids do a great job. And Brother Hunter does a great job in leading them. And it's a very special time. Well, we're in our Bibles at 1 Samuel chapter number 27, and I want to bring you up to speed, maybe if you were not here last week, but we know what has happened with David. David, the great man of God, the David who is on run for his life.
We know that King Saul is chasing after David. David is the chosen king of Israel, but God has him on a holding pattern for a while. God is going to teach him some things. God is going to instruct David, and God is molding his man. And we see, as we looked at last week, David and one of his faithful men went into the very camp of where Saul and his men were sleeping. And the Bible says that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon them. You remember David's faithful man said, David, kill him. Kill him and pin him to the ground right now. In fact, that man said, David, I'll do it. I'll strike him one time. He'll be dead, and that's it. Well, David said, we will not touch the Lord's anointed. We will faith God. God will take care of Saul. God will allow him. His day is coming. And last week, I preached that message on your day is coming and my day is coming. Well, when we come to chapter 27, I want to tell you this. It's almost like it's not the same man. When we read the very first verse, we recognize that something has happened in the heart and life of David. David, the time before this, was a man of faith. He was a man of trusting God, believing God to take care of his enemies. No doubt his men saw David for a mighty man of God, and that God's hand, a blessing, is upon his life. But when we come to chapter 27, something has happened. Let's read it together. 1 Samuel chapter 27, and would you join me there in verse number 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. So David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah and against the south of the Jeremites and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. Now in these 12 verses in 1 Samuel chapter 27, I want you to understand something. David has been on the run now for 7 long years. Can you imagine the toil that this has taken on David's physical body? I mean, think about it. David's on the run all the time. He doesn't sleep well at night. He's wondering, is Saul going to come in and kill me? And David has 600 men, plus their wives, plus their children. David is to take care of them. He is to make sure that they have food. He is to make sure they have shelter. And David is on the run, and he cannot enjoy his life. No doubt he wants to raise his children, and he wants to have a family and a home of his own. And something happens in the heart of David. Verse number 1 gives us a little key, and it says this. Go back to verse number 1 of 1 Samuel 27. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Do you know what I find in verse number 1? I find David a man who is discouraged. A man who is despondent. A man who is at the place of despair. And David says, there is nothing better for me than I should just go to the Philistines. Can you imagine what David is saying? That's the enemy of God. Those are the very people that David was instructed to wipe out from the face of the earth. Those are the people that David has killed. And those are the people that are the godless people. And David says, I'm going to go dwell among them. I'm going to live there because Saul is going to kill me. I know it's going to happen. And I'm never going to fulfill what God wants me to fulfill. I've got to take matters in my own hand, and I'm leaving. This morning, I want to preach to you this message on living the life of unbelief. Now, David here is revealing something about his lack of faith to God. And brethren, if you study the Bible, do you know that most of the great men of God in God's Word had times where they lapsed in their faith? It did not mean they lost their salvation, but they came to times where they were in a valley. And during the valley, they got their eyes off the Lord, and they departed from the path that God had for them. Think about Abraham. Do you remember Abraham? One time, the Bible says that he went down to Egypt. He should have never gone to Egypt. He should have never been there. And there, Abraham got in a lot of trouble because of Egypt. What about Jacob? Jacob failed God at a time, and he departed from where God had him to be. And David, now look, let's not be too hard on David. Because the truth of the matter is, most of us, if we would admit, there have been times in your life and in my life when we have become so discouraged, we have become so despondent in our life, that we have said, that's it, I'm done. That's it. I'm going to take a break for a while. And I'm going to go and I'm going to be a part of this. And you know what? I just can't handle going to church anymore. And I'm going to get out of church for a little bit of time. And I'm going to stop reading the Bible. And I'm not going to spend that time in prayer. And I'm not going to serve God like I need to serve God. I'm just despondent and despair. And you and I have done what Abraham and what Jacob and what Moses and what Abraham have done. We have chosen to live a life of unbelief. Do you know that the biggest thing that I struggle with in my life is trusting God day by day? You say, Pastor, you're supposed to be the pastor of the church. You're supposed to be the leader of this church. But brethren, all of us struggle with whether we will faith God or live a life of unbelief. And David here has faltered for a moment. David here has stumbled. And what about David? Do you know in chapter 27, not one time do we read that David inquired of the Lord? Do you know that one time we don't find that David went to the man of God to get counsel, to get advice? No, we find that David said in his heart, you know what? I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of running. I'm so tired of not having a roof over my head. I'm so tired of, and maybe there was more to it than that. Maybe it was his family. Maybe it was his men. And they were maybe there was a strain, a pull on David. But it was easier for David, he thought at the moment, to go to the land of Philistines so Saul would keep from chasing after him. We find that David, back in chapter 26, do you know that David was on a mountaintop experience? I mean, think about David walking among all of those men that were sleeping on the ground. David takes the spear and the water bottle of Saul. And he takes that and he trusts God that day. And all the men know that David is a mighty man of God. But what is David doing now? Brethren, can I tell you something? The most dangerous time in your life and in my life is right after the time of great victory in our life. You know, we think sometimes after a great answer to prayer or after a great victory that that kind of fuels us and it fuels our faith and it strengthens us, and it does, but if you're not careful, you and I will become a little self-sufficient. We'll become a little proud. We'll become a little dependent on ourselves, and we'll get our eyes off the Lord. And the devil has a plan for each and every one of us here today. Do you know, just as surely as God has given you victory, the devil is scheming a plan to get you to fall. Brethren, I believe this morning that God is at work in each of your life. He's at work in my life. But just as surely as that God is at work, the devil is at work to lay traps for you and me. He wants to discourage us. He wants to bring us to the place where we give up. The place where we just kind of throw in the towel per se and that's it. I've had enough and I'm done. How many people I have met out door knocking? How many people I've met and talked to them? Oh yeah, I used to go to church years ago. But you know, I got discouraged over there. Someone said something to me. Someone did something to me. And you know what happened? The devil laid a plan for them and got them off course in their life. And every single one of us this morning needs to know that we are capable of getting off course in our Christian life. You and I, it is possible for us to live a life of unbelief. Can I ask you something? After all that God had done for David, how could David do this? David made a terrible mistake in his life. David, in a sense, said, I'm changing teams. David said, I'm going with the Philistines now. It's safe over there. It's a place where David forgot that God was the one who was protecting him. God was the one who was watching over him. You know what David also forgot? David forgot about the day that the great prophet Samuel came. You remember David just as a shepherd boy? And Samuel anointed David to be king. God impressed and God led Samuel because God had found his man. And as surely as the promises of God, God was going to bring David to the throne. But David forgot about that. You remember the time when David came to the men and there where Abigail and Nabal were. Do you remember what happened? David was going to kill Nabal and all of the men that day, but God spared their life. Do you remember what Abigail said? Let's go back in our Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter number 26. Would you notice this? We come to 1 Samuel chapter 26. I'm sorry, chapter number 25. And notice what the Bible says here. 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse number 28. Now Abigail is speaking. She is talking and she says this, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. And evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. Remember, Abigail reminded David, David, God is going to take care of you. David, God is going to take care of your enemies. And in a sense, she is referencing what God did with David and Goliath. And by the way, what about David that day as a young teenager? As he saw the giant Goliath 9 feet 9 inches tall. He defied the armies of the living God. And David looked around those older men and trained soldiers. And David said, is nobody going to do something about this? God is able. God delivered me out of the hand of the bear and out of the hand of the lion. And God will deliver me today. And we know the story. David stood and the Bible says he took that slingshot and he slung it, as the Bible says, and that stone sunk into the very forehead of Goliath. David ran up, grabbed Goliath's sword and cut his head off. David had a great victory that day. Has David forgotten about all of that? You see, what happened to David happens to us. Do you know that in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our heartache, I'm going to tell you what happens to you and me. We forget about all the goodness and the blessings of God. We forget about how God has answered prayer. We forget about the trials and difficulties that God led us through in the past, and He will do it again in the future. We forget about how that God has kept us safe. And David is blinded to what God is doing. And brethren, that's what the devil does in your life and in my life. We go through times and the devil whispers to us. He causes us to be blind to the goodness of God. He causes us to forget about all His benefits and all of His blessings. Can I tell you this? In the 6 years that God has allowed my family and I to be here, you know something? When I think about the new building that God allowed us to build, you know, man, all through that building, we saw God answering prayer, God meeting needs. And for instance, you know this story, but I want to bring it up again. I was praying that we could carpet the new auditorium. I wanted to put carpet in the fellowship hall, and all throughout there, we had just enough money to put down kind of the concrete, the stained concrete, like what you would see in Walmart or places like that. Well, during that time, I was praying, Lord, would you do something? Would you work something out to where we could put carpet? It would be nice. It would be much nicer to have carpet, and the sound would be better and all of that. Well, they got done with staining the concrete. And I'll be honest with you, it looked terrible. I remember calling Dave Link, and I called him. I said, hey, I need you to come over here and look at this. And he came over, and I said, what do you think about that? He said, it looks terrible. I said, that's exactly what I think. And then the next thing you know, he calls the subcontractor, the one who did the project. And he came over, and of course, he had men that had done it. And I said, what do you think about that? He said, it looks terrible. I said, I agree with you. I said, the question is, what are we going to do about it? And he said to me, he said, well, look, the only thing I can do is to grind that concrete down to an eighth of an inch. He said, you talk about a lot of work and a lot of money and expense. And he stood there for a little bit and he said, I tell you what, he said, the only thing I can do is carpet it for you. I said, I'll pick out the carpet, you know? Well, can I tell you something? God, I believe He worked. Man, you know, whoever did that, he did a good job because it's exactly the way I wanted it to be done, you know? Well, can I tell you something? God has reminded me of that and so many other things where God has taken care of situations. God has protected us. God has met our needs. But every one of you could come up here. We could file up here this morning and everyone could give a testimony of 100 things, 100 answers to prayer, 100 ways that God has met your needs and God has provided for you and God has enabled you and strengthened you, every single one of us. But what happens during the trial, during the time of discouragement, we start talking to ourselves, just like David did. David, the Bible says, he said in his heart, he began to meditate on what was going to happen to him. He began to mull that over in his heart, and David got it all wrong. Have you ever gone through a time where at the end of it you thought, why did I think that way? Why did I act that way? Why did I not trust God in the moment? Because, brethren, living the life of unbelief is very possible for each and every one of us. That is why we must strengthen the things which remain. That is why we must stay in the house of God. That is why we must get into the Word of God, because God's Word builds our faith. It strengthens us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, there's been times I've come to church and I'm living a life of unbelief. I'm kind of living in a cloud, and I come and God does something to me. He speaks to me through the Word of God. He picks me up. He strengthens me. He speaks to my heart and causes me to get my eyes back on Jesus Christ. You know what David has done here? His eyes are off the Lord. Do you know that in this whole chapter, David doesn't mention God one time? In his time of talking to himself, David doesn't talk about God. He doesn't talk about God's blessing. He doesn't talk about any of that. David is living the life of unbelief. Number one, when you and I live a life of unbelief, I want to show you some things. It reveals itself in a lack of prayer. Now, I don't know if I could talk about any other thing that convicts me more than about talking about prayer. I do pray and I do seek the face of God. But I'm going to be honest with you. Every time that I have dipped into that valley of unbelief, I have lived in despair per se. I can remember growing up, my pastor, Pastor Sexton, and you know, some it was good to hear him talk sometimes about his struggles, because you know, you get to thinking sometimes that the preacher has no struggles, that everything just comes easy to him, and that's not true. And brethren, this morning I'm just like you. I have struggles just like you have struggles. I have good days just like you have good days, and I have bad days just like you have. I have times of doubt and disbelief. I have times of victory and strength. We all struggle with that. In some ways, the Christian life is truly valleys and mountaintops. But sometimes we can come out of the valley and go to the pit of despair, as David talked about. But I remember my pastor used to talk about how at times he would live a life of unbelief. He said one time, and if you know his wife, she's a precious, precious old Southern belle, per se. And he would say, he said, my wife would say to me, honey, how long are you going to live like this? You got to get out of this. You can't live like this. You got to trust God. And boy, he would talk about that. And it made me understand that God was at work in his life. And God is at work in our life. We deal with these times of unbelief where we think things in our mind and we get things in our heart that should never be there. But it reveals itself in a lack of prayer. Do you know in chapter 27, David doesn't pray. It doesn't say that David prays. I don't find David seeking God saying, should I go to the land of Philistines? And in fact, the reason I don't think David could pray about it, because he knew it was wrong. He knew he wasn't supposed to do that. And David is not praying. Brethren, can I tell you this morning? The Bible says that David reached this time of unbelief. And when you and I reach these periods of unbelief in our life, it is an evidence, it is a manifestation that we are not giving the time to prayer as we should. Now let me say this. You think, well, how much time do I need? Brethren, that's not really the question. You see, prayer is your fellowship with God. It's a part of that. When we pray, we talk to God. When we read the Bible, God talks to us. He speaks to us. You know, for instance, I love being with my wife. There's no person on the face of the earth I'd rather be with than my wife. You know, my wife and I don't measure how much time we have spent talking to one another. You know, I don't say to her, honey, I've got 30 minutes this week. Let's break this up and I'll give you 5 minutes a day for 6 days, you know? No, we don't do it that way. You know why? Because in a sense, I live in a spirit of fellowship with my wife. We just pick right up where we left off. And she's teaching in the school here and I'm out at the hospitals and all that. At the end of the day, I may say to her, I'll just pick right up where we left off, where we were talking this morning in the car. And brethren, the life of the Christian should not be that, Lord, I have this time in the morning and this is the time that I'm going to talk to you and then I'm not going to talk to you the rest of the day. You know what? That's not fellowship. You know what? God wants us to live in the atmosphere of prayer. In the very spirit of prayer, to where we're praying throughout the whole day. That doesn't mean you have to be on your knees in a closet somewhere. It doesn't mean you have to be at the bedside, but it could be in the car as you're praying in your heart, God, help me today. Strengthen me today. Lord, help my children today. It could be at work when you're dealing with the difficult situation. In that moment, you pray to God. You're talking to Him. You're fellowshipping with Him. You're thanking Him. You're praising Him. We are living in the spirit of prayer. You see, when we are praying, our faith is strong. We are trusting God. Prayer is an act of my declaration of dependence upon God. Prayer is saying, God, I need you, and you are my only answer. But David here is living a life of unbelief. David is revealing that he is not praying. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1? Would you turn there if you would, please? By the way, you and I need to consider how many things we get involved in that we do not pray about. Have you ever done something before and it ended up to be a terrible decision and you look back upon it and you realize you didn't even pray about it? You made a decision. Maybe a job change, maybe a financial decision, whatever it may be, but you look back upon it and God reminds you, you did not even pray about it. You see, brethren, we need to be praying about everything, seeking the face of God, Look, before we ever take the first step, we should stop and pray. Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, we should not pray just to pray. It kind of reminds me of the pastor who got the call. You know, he was just in a little country church and got the call from the city church, large church, and they wanted him to come be their pastor. And he said, well, I need to pray about this, and hung the phone up, and he told his wife, he said, honey, you go pack while I pray, you know? And the truth of the matter is, he'd already made up his mind. He was just praying just to ease his conscience, per se. But we should let God lead us and guide us. Luke 18, verse number 1, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you know that when we faint as a Christian, when we faint, that means we give up. That's what David did. David fainted. David said, I'm going to the Philistines and we're changing teams here and we're not going to be with the Israelites anymore. We're going to the land of the Philistines. We should never be there, but we're going there anyway. I'm tired of this battle. I'm tired of not resting well. I'm tired of having to take care of all these men. I'm tired of all of this. David is physically depleted. He's mentally, emotionally disturbed. And he says in his heart, Saul's going to kill me. It's going to happen. Saul's going to do it. David just walked out of the camp where he walked in there and the men were asleep and God calls to deep sleep. What's happened to David? David has not been praying. David instead has been talking to himself. Look here, you know what? I'm convicted when we think about this. Brethren, when you and I get to the place when we are just communing with ourselves and we stop talking with God, we are living a life of unbelief. Now look here, we are good at talking to ourselves. Every single one of us does it. Some of us do it out loud. Now that is disturbing a little bit at times if you're somewhere and you notice that. You ever pulled up at a red light before and someone's just, man, they're having a great conversation with themselves over there, you know? I mean, they're talking to themselves. They even answer themselves. That's a little scary, you know? And they're just going on. Well, look, we all do that. We muse things over in our heart. We commune with ourselves. For instance, the next time someone does something to you or says something that's unkind to you, I'll tell you something, you'll talk about that to yourself a lot. And if you're not careful, and if you don't give it to God, and if you don't go to the face of the Lord and lay it at His feet, I'm going to tell you something, you will bring that over and over, and you will blow that out of proportion. It'll be bigger than life. It'll be so big, and you've made a terrible mess of something because you communed it with yourself, and you did not commune with God. You see, brethren, can I tell you this? Where is prayer in your life this morning? Because the place that prayer holds in your life is the place that God holds in your life. You ought to take a test this morning. How close are you to God? How much time do you give to prayer? How important is prayer to you? Is it important or is it not? Now, how many here, you drink coffee? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? All right? Now, how many, you have to have coffee the first thing when you get up in the morning. Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? All right. I had a college professor, and he was just kidding, but he said this. He said he didn't feel saved until he had at least 2 cups of coffee in the morning, you know? Now, what he was saying was, man, I have to have that to wake me up. Now, look here. You all know sweet tea is a priority in my life. If there is no sweet tea in the house, we stop everything. We go to the store. We do whatever is needs to be so that we have tea bags and buckets of sugar and ice, you know. We've got to have all of that. I mean, hey, forget the cereal, forget the milk, forget the eggs, get the sweet tea, all right? It's got to be there. Now, look here. I use that as a humorous illustration. But how important is prayer to you? How important it is to me? I mean, is it something that I think, well, I didn't have time to pray today. I'll pray tomorrow. You know, I really wasn't in fellowship with God today. Is it something that we just take or leave? Because if you can take it or leave it, you will always leave it. Prayer is work. But prayer is an evidence of our faith in God. And David is living a life of unbelief because David has not given the proper place to prayer in his life. Number two, we notice living a life of unbelief, it reveals our lack of prayer. But number two, living a life of unbelief reaches the wrong conclusions in life. Do you know that when you and I are living a life of unbelief, we reach the wrong conclusions? We come up with the wrong things in life. You see, and in fact, we are good at exaggerating things. It's like the man that I'm reminded of. He said that his wife couldn't shop for a couple of weeks and two stores went under because of that, you know? Well, I think he was exaggerating just a little bit. I think he was overstating his problem. Now, men, I'll say this to you. I don't know about you, but most of us men, when we get sick, we want everybody to think that we are on death's door right that moment, you know? I mean, we just think the world has come and all of that. I don't know why it's that way, but it's that way for some men, you know? And the man is, you know, he's just struggling there with all that. Well, we tend to overstate it. Do you know that discouraged people always overstate their problems? They always do. And David, what has happened to you? David, what has gone on in your life? David has come to the point to where he said, I'm leaving, I'm going with the Philistines. What has David done? David has reached the wrong conclusions in life. What caused David to come to this place? Do you understand that when you and I take faith out of our life, our trust in God, our dependence upon God, you will always reach the wrong conclusions about life? Do you know what? That's why I believe many marriages do not last. Because they've come to the wrong conclusion about their marriage. They think it's done. It's over. And there's nobody can fix this. And we just need to divorce and be done with this. You know what? So often when you and I are not living a life of faith, we come to the wrong conclusions. We conclude things about God that are not right. Do you know how many people do not even believe that God loves them? They think that God really doesn't like them and does not love them. What's happened? The devil has caused them to come to the wrong conclusion about life. The devil has come to them to believe something that is not true. And the devil, who is he? He's the father of lies. He brings us to the wrong conclusions. That's what David did back in chapter 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day. David, wait a minute. You're not going to perish. David, God has promised you the throne. David, God has told you you're going to be the next king. He's the God who's protecting you all this time. He has come to the wrong conclusions in life. And brethren, when you and I do not trust God, when we do not faith in God, we come to the wrong conclusions and we make terrible decisions in our life. You see, when you take God and faith and prayer and God's word out of your life, you will always reach the wrong conclusions. I'm reminded of what Philippians 4:13 says. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you know something? That's a promise in God's word. That doesn't mean that you can do everything you ever want to do. It doesn't mean I can jump over this building just because I want to. It means this. You and I can do everything that God has given us to do in the boundaries of His will for our life. We can do all things through Christ because He strengthens us. But can I tell you this? If God has promised that He is going to meet every need in my life, and He ever has, then it also means that God is going to keep His word. You know something? My Christian faith is wrapped up in the promises of God. It is wrapped up in God keeping His word. He will keep His word. But David has concluded that, well, I just don't think God is going to help me. Folks, can I tell you this morning, when you are discouraged and your heart is heavy, if you take your eyes off the Lord and unbelief sets in your life, you're going to stop praying and you're going to reach the wrong conclusions in life. May God deliver us. You know what? There are times that I can think back to. This morning, I thought early this morning about the 6 years of being here. You know, I've thought about funny things that have happened, you know. And of course, coming to the country has been exciting. You know, I've come to the church before, and of course, we've had skunk issues, you know, around here. You know, came to church one morning, there was a skunk going around in circles with a McDonald's cup on its head. Couldn't see. It was going in circles, just going around. I thought, what do I do? You know, this thing's blind. We got people coming. We got to get rid of this thing, you know. And so that was a big thing. You know, one day there was a skunk up near the front church doors, not on a Sunday, but a school day. And we were getting the kids in the door and they came running back. And I said, what are y'all doing? They said, there's a skunk at the door. I said, get in the church right now. School's starting. No more of this, you know. Well, there was a skunk up at the front doors, you know. And I thought, this is great, you know. And we've had all kinds of things happen. Exciting things happen. But can I tell you this? God has always kept His word. And in your life, has God ever failed you one time? Not one time. Has God ever left you or forsaken you? Not one time, and He never will. Has God ever broken His word? Not one time, and He never will. You see what happens when we get our eyes off the Lord and we get out of His word and we stop spending that time in prayer, that praying of trusting God and depending upon the Lord. You know what? We come to the wrong conclusions. And we get our eyes off the Lord. And guess what? We enter into that valley of despair. And we do what David just did. Number three, we noticed the last thing this morning. When we live a life of unbelief, it manifests itself in our lack of prayer. But the second thing is, it causes us to reach the wrong conclusions. And third thing is that it seeks only temporary relief. And I want you to listen to me very closely. David, in a sense, said, I need relief. I need help. And maybe David thought to himself, I'm just going to go there for a little bit of time. Do you know the Bible tells us it was a year and 4 months that David spent? Look here, every time you and I get off the path of faith, we spend longer on the path of unbelief than we ever imagined. I've met people before that have said to me, you know, I just got discouraged and I quit church and I thought just for a few weeks and then it ended up being years. You know why? Because the life of faith is the path that God has for the child of God. And God wants us as Christians to live a victorious Christian life. But that can only be lived through faith. Faith is trusting God to do what is right. Faith is knowing that God will take care of this situation. But you know what David sought? Just relief. Here's the tragic thing about seeking temporary relief is that it only lasts for a short period of time. You see, in a sense, David came to the place to where he said, I just got to have some relief. I can't deal with the stress anymore. I cannot deal with these problems anymore. These men are saying, David, come on, what are we going to do? And these children and these wives. And David said, I'm tired. I can't sleep at night. I don't eat well. And David said, I'm done. I need relief. And that's what David did. David kind of escaped for a little bit of time. Oh, brethren, be careful about escaping from God. Some people say, I just need a vacation. Look, I'm all for vacation with your family, a time of rest. But if it is an escape from the presence of God, it is no vacation. You see what David did. David caused so much damage. David caused the name of Christ to be tarnished. You see, in the weak moments of life, and we all have them and I have them, if you and I do not turn to God during those times, the devil will have someone or something else in which you can turn to. Oh, the devil is good for substitutes. The devil is good. And look here, brethren. He knows the right opportune time to put something before you. You know, my children, and I thank God for them and I love them greatly. But my children know when to ask me something, you know. If they know that Sunday's been a good day at church and God has blessed and worked in hearts, that's probably a good time to ask Dad. Hey, Dad, can I do something? You know, God's been so good today. Can we do something, you know? And can I have something special today? That's probably a good time for me. Well, guess what? There are times in your life and my life where the devil knows this is the time to put the temptation in front of them. This is the time to put the thought in their mind. This is the very moment. And the devil knew that David was at a weak moment. And instead of turning to God, instead of looking to God, instead of casting himself in dependence upon God and saying, God, I'm struggling in my mind. I'm struggling in my heart. I feel like quitting. I feel like giving up. God, help me in this moment. God would have helped David and God would have strengthened David. But David instead, David just sought temporary relief. Look here, brethren. God is not in the business of just giving us temporary relief in life. You know what God does? God looks to give us victory in life. God looks to settle our hearts. He looks to strengthen us. Hey, look, why do you think a man takes a drink of alcohol instead of turning to the Lord? Why do you think someone that may be in a tough time in life goes to the area of drugs and takes drugs? You know what they're wanting? Just temporary relief. Just a little bit of escape for them in their life. Look, they are missing that it only will relieve them for a certain amount of time. Brethren, there is a God in heaven who does not seek to just give us temporary relief. We have a God in heaven who gives us the long-term relief. And that is to trust Him and to learn to live a life of dependence upon God. That is to go to His Word and spend that time in prayer. This morning I was reading in my Bible in Daniel. What a great book of God's Word. I got so excited about it, I thought, Lord, I want to skip over there and preach in there for a little while. But Daniel's faith in God. And you know what God does? As we read His Word, God increases our faith. God tells us, if I took care of that man and that woman, I'm going to take care of you. And if I answer their prayer, I can help you. And they had the same problems you had. You know what it does? It causes us to seek God, who can meet and answer every need that we have in life. And brethren, by the way, when the Lord Jesus Christ came to the cross, it wasn't just for our temporary relief. Oh, listen, in that moment, remember, He cried out to God and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You know what? He could have ended it right there. He could have stopped all that He was doing, but He gave His life for you and me so that we could have eternal relief from the payment of sin that you and I bear. Oh, brethren, today, the devil lines up one temporary relief after another. The devil says, why don't you try this? Why don't you run with this crowd? Why don't you go in this way? And look, the devil's crafty at it. The devil says, you don't have to do this forever. You can just take a little break. You know? You can just play with this sin just a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be a long time. The devil says, hey, you kind of earned it. And you need some relief in life. And you need some enjoyment and pleasure in life. And what happens is that lasts for a year and 4 months, as David did. It lasts for longer, and it steals things from us. It robs us of God's blessing in life. Oh, brethren, today, can I ask you something? I don't know where you're at in your life. I know where I'm at. But are you living in that pit of despair where you're not faithing God and not trusting God? Let me tell you something, a life of unbelief, it's because of a lack of prayer. And a life of unbelief, you're going to come to the wrong conclusions. You're thinking wrong. You're not thinking right. And by the way, you know what? That's what God's Word does. It transforms our thinking. It renews our mind. It helps us to think right about life, about money, about family, about time, about everything in life. And when you and I live a life of unbelief, we are seeking just temporary relief. When God comes to us and says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Brethren, this morning, many of us as God's people, you know what we ought to do? We ought to come to the Lord this morning and say, God, forgive me. I've stopped praying like I should pray. Lord, forgive me. I've come to wrong conclusions about my family, about you, about the church. I've come to some bad conclusions. And by the way, you say, how do I know if I've come to the wrong conclusions? Line up your thinking with God's Word. If it doesn't hold true to God's Word, it's wrong thinking. And Lord, I've sought just temporary relief when God will give you the victory. May God help us today. Oh, let's not be like David. David said, I said in my heart, it's over. Saul's going to kill me. I must go to this place. Brethren, let's go to the Lord. Let's rush to Him this morning. Would you bow your heads in prayer?